This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Matthew, and we're in Matthew chapter 24. We're drawing to the end of chapter 24, and we want to pick up where we left off this morning. Jesus has been talking to his disciples. He's been sharing with them as they asked him, when will these events happen, and what will be the sign of your returning? He gave them a number of things that would be signs of his return. This afternoon, he gives them an illustration from nature, and that we will find in verses 32 through 35, and that's what we'll be looking at this afternoon. I don't think we'll get on into the days of Noah in the next verses, but we'll take a look at verses 32 through 35. Jesus said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and he putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, so when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but the words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your word this afternoon. And Lord, help us to see the signs of the time. And Lord, help us to be prepared. And Lord, may we seek to use the opportunity of the time that we have to bring honor to you and to share with others the hope we have in Jesus. Speak to us now through your word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A number of years ago, Roberta and I attended a small Baptist church out in West Fargo, and at one point in time, they hired a pastor to be the assistant pastor and youth pastor, and he also was a pretty good singer, and he would be asked to sing quite often, and it seemed like he would sing the same song whenever he had the opportunity. "Signs of the Times Are Everywhere" was the name of the song, "Signs of the Times." And it spoke about what our text is speaking of tonight. It talked, I think the title of the song is "My Redemption Draweth Nigh." And it started out with "Signs of the Times Are Everywhere." And then it talked about some of these signs. And then the chorus was, "Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." And one of the things that we need to do is not be discouraged. And one of the things that can happen, if you listen to the news too much, you can get discouraged because all you seem to hear is all of the bad things that are happening. You hear that our president is under attack constantly. You hear all of the riots going on. Well, not so much, but unless you're listening to the right stations. But there are riots going on. There's new riots in Louisville, Kentucky this last week. And protests, and there's been riots for 100 days in Portland. There's been riots that they don't even talk about in Chicago because they're so commonplace, and so many murders that are occurring in Chicago. There's things going on in New York. There were new riots in Rochester. You start to look around and you go, what hope is there? And then you begin to look at the whole thing with the coronavirus and all of the close downs. And I just was telling Roberta at lunch, I heard about Lady Gaga. It doesn't matter if you're a famous singer in the world or not. Even if you're Lady Gaga and your dad owns a restaurant in New York City, you still can't open. And he was on the radio news talking about the fact that he's got just a limited seating on a patio area. And that's the only place they can have people, serve people now. And it's going to be getting colder in New York pretty soon. And he won't be able to seat on the patio. And the mayor of New York City has said nobody is going to be able to eat inside at all this year. And he's saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. My employees, they're not going to have an income. And you begin to look at, and you turn and you look all around and you see discouraging thing after discouraging thing. And you wonder, what hope do we have? But Jesus said to his disciples, after he talked to them about a number of these things, take a lesson from the fig tree. And what is the lesson you learn from the fig tree? He says, you want to see when summer's coming? Look at the fig tree and see when it starts to turn green. When it starts to get leaves on it, when the branches start to show life. What is that telling you? Summer's drawing near. And it's a sign that summer's coming. And he said, likewise, all these signs that I've talked to you about so far, when you see these coming, realize, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. My return is at hand. And that's one of the things that we need to understand. And a lot of times, especially the younger you are, the less you seem to be looking for that. I remember when I was young in the Lord, just a new Christian, and I was in my teens, and I thought, Jesus, can you just wait? Can you wait a while? I'd like to find the girl that I'm going to marry. I'd like to have kids. I'd like to find out what kind of job you've got in store for me. I'd like to see and have these things happen in my life, because the focus was really wrong. I mean, God places those desires in our hearts. He places a desire for family. He places a desire for relationship. He places a desire for all those things, because that's his plan. But on the other hand, he's saying, oh, but there's something so much better. You don't even have a clue what to expect. And we can. One of the things that you see in the book of Revelation, when you go there and you begin to, as John is trying to describe what heaven looks like and describe what the New Jerusalem is looking like, I can't hardly picture this, where you've got precious stones as the foundation of the city. You've got giant pearls as the gates. You've got streets that are such pure gold that it's transparent. That is 100% pure gold, and you're walking on it. We can't understand it. It's beyond my imagination, anyway, to really begin to understand that the beauty, the riches, and all that is commonplace for God. And the things that we would hold as, wow, I'd never be able to even own any gold that pure in my life, I'm going to walk on in heaven. I mean, this is to put our balance into perspective, that things that we view as very, very significant and important are really what God would give us commonplace in the life to come. And so what Jesus is saying is, okay, you want to really know when this is going to happen, look at the signs. I mentioned this morning, we talked a little bit about the false teachers this morning, and that was one of the signs that Jesus gave. As a matter of fact, in the book, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about false teachers and those that would be false Christs and coming with false doctrine. He mentions that more than any other sign, and we see that that is really becoming evident in the world today. I was looking at some videos that were being put out by this organization that was talking about how Christianity is being just infiltrated with false teaching, and that it is solid doctrine. It doesn't seem like it's taught hardly anywhere anymore. And we talked about that this morning, the different Christ, the different gospel, a different message. And Jesus said, that's going to be one of the signs. And he talked about birth pangs. And he also talked about that when you see the birth pangs increase, know that the delivery is coming. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago. When the women that have had babies, when you draw closer to the actual time of the delivery of the child, the pangs, the birth pains become more intense, they are longer, and they come more frequently. And the signs that Jesus gave us are all doing that as well. They're becoming more frequent, they're becoming longer, and they're becoming more intense. And then you couple that with things that we see from other portions of Scripture, for example, from the Daniel's prophecy, speaking about the time, and what he was talking about, what it would be like right before the time of tribulation, and then the great tribulation, or Jacob's trouble, in the last week that Daniel spoke of, where God is dealing with Israel. And one of the things he said would happen before that would be an exponential increase in knowledge. And we're seeing that happen as well. You can buy a computer today and you can't even leave the store before it's outdated. I was talking to Bruce this morning about the new cell phone he got. And he just got one. A smartphone is the first one he's gotten. And but the thing is, that smartphone, which is the latest and greatest, is already going to be outdated because both Apple and Samsung and some of the other people that make the smartphones are coming out with another version that'll be out in a couple months. And so this one will be, well, not really totally outdated, but you got to have something greater and better. And the things that you can do on a smartphone, when I got my first computer at work, it was not nearly as powerful as this phone. You know, I'd have to sit. I remember when I got my computer at work and we'd sit down and put the accounting system on. I'd make an entry into the accounting system and I could go out and have a cup of coffee, make a phone call, and talk to somebody before the entry got processed. Today, I do that same entry, I hit the button and it's done. And my phone, where before I had a flip phone and I couldn't do anything on it, this one I can actually watch YouTube videos where I watch some of these guys that are talking about some of the things that we're looking at today and seeing what's happening in the world. You can do that on your telephone. And then my nephew, he's got what used to be called Dick Tracy technology from when I was a kid. And there used to be Dick Tracy comics, and Dick Tracy had a watch that you could actually make a telephone call on this watch. And my nephew's got one of those watches. Not only can he make telephone calls, he can actually do, he can look at videos, he can send text messages, he can do all this off of a watch. And they're getting small, the gadgets are getting smaller and smaller and more powerful and more powerful. And then we look at the technology that is there. This was last week, I was listening, and we were coming back from Minneapolis, and there's a show called Kim Komando, and she talks about all the latest and greatest things in technology. And she was talking about how they've been implanting chips into pigs' brains and being able to control the pigs' brains with this microchip that they put inside. And that they're wanting to do this so that, and what they sounds very altruistic in the things that they're doing, because, oh, we can deal with things like Parkinson's disease, we can deal with epilepsy, we can deal with it by putting in this computer chip. However, they don't tell you what the other things they can deal with, and that is they can also, you become, your brain is wired, can be wired, and you can have people outside of you controlling impulses in your brain. But those things are coming, they're doing this. I just saw the Gates Foundation has a chip. It's not a chip per se, although he said it was a chip, and now that has been scrubbed from the internet as well because they said that's just bogus. But I actually heard him say that they want to put a chip in vaccines so that they can trace you and make sure you've had the vaccine. However, that's scrubbed from the internet, so I guess it's not real, but I think it is. But anyway, he's got what they call the invisible tattoo. And the invisible tattoo is put on your arm, your hand, your forehead, and the invisible tattoo will enable you to be scanned to have transactions, because you know, I just had credit cards hacked this last week. Somebody tried to charge $15,000 on one of my credit cards. But my credit card company called me and we said, I said, no, I didn't charge $15,000 to some bizarre company somewhere I never heard of. And so they canceled my card and stopped the transaction. But it's going to sound so logical to people. You're going to have it all right here. How are they going to steal your information off of here? And we can get these chips implanted into your hand, and this invisible tattoo is what the Gates Foundation is currently putting a patent on, which I actually looked on the internet and saw the patent. And we're not only that, but we can help you. We'll be able to trace where you're going And so if you get lost, we can help you with that area. We can trace your physical needs. For example, we can take your blood pressure, your heart rate. All these things can be done with this invisible tattoo and the microchips that are involved with it that can be put into you. It's coming. It's coming. And the thing is, as believers, we see what the Bible says. Jesus said that was going to come, and it was a way that the Antichrist would be able to control the world. And if you can imagine everybody having some form of chips or invisible tattoo put on them, and that they can hook it up to algorithms, and they can get your algorithm pattern, and then they can also, if they want to, just for example right now, if you've got a car with a computer in, which I've got one, in my computer, if you get stranded, you can hit a button and it will, do you need help? Do you need assistance? And they'll find you. They know where you're at. Well, also, my wife and I were reading some stuff and they were talking about the same technology. Your car gets stolen, the police department can type in the stuff to the computer at Ford or Chevy or whichever manufacturer you got, and they can disable the engine so that it'll stop running and the thief can't get away. And they'll be able, this sounds so wonderful, except it also enables them to track you wherever you go. And if there are nefarious things that people want to stop you from doing, like having Bible studies, like in California, they want them to stop having Bible studies. Oh, they don't want the COVID virus. You know, if you have a Bible study, I guess you're going to die, because the Bible studies are very bad. Going to church is very bad. However, if you want to protest, that's fine. And we saw pictures on the TV, on the news, or on the videos of people, literally hundreds of people protesting, many without masks, walking shoulder to shoulder down streets. You're not going to die from that. But if you go to church and are more than 10 or 15 or 50 people, depending on which state you're in, and you sit closer than 6 or 10 feet, you will die from the COVID virus. That is the thinking. And so we're going to shut down churches. We're going to shut down Bible studies. And if we've got little deals, then we're going to be able to trace, why do you have 10 people meeting at your house on Tuesday night? What are you doing? And guess what? We're seeing that those 10 people aren't your family. So who are they? Well, we guess we know who they are. They're so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And guess what? They meet there every Tuesday night. What are you doing? Well, maybe we'll just flip on the switch on one of your smartphones and listen for a while. You're having a Bible study. That's against the law. For example, in China right now, it is against the law. You cannot teach the Bible. I couldn't present this message in China tonight, because I'm trying to expound upon what Jesus is talking about, seeing the fig tree turn green. And if I was in China, I'd have to write or contact the president of China, his office. He would give me a lecture of what I could, and things of what I could say and include in my study, none of which would be about the Bible. It would be all about how communism and the Chinese government is wonderful and biblical, and so the Christians would want to do and follow exactly what the president says in China. Well, that's going to be a whole lot easier once they have tattoos on your hand. Things are increasing exponentially. And as I mentioned this morning, one of the things that happened with this whole COVID virus, and looking at what happened in the world, and how that within a matter of a couple of weeks, literally just about the whole world was shut down, and within just a couple of months, you had just about the whole world wearing masks. You had the whole world terrified to go, many of them terrified to go out of their house, not willing to go to the, hardly go to the store because of, for fear of this virus. And you see, if people can be controlled that quickly over one little virus, how much more when you start saying things like, you know, we can give you security if you get rid of all your money, all your dollar bills, and all your, and just have all your money placed on this chip. So your net worth is right here, and so we can help you with your transactions. We can make sure people don't get you don't get things stolen from you. And besides, you won't be able to have those garage sales anymore and actually sell things that you shouldn't be selling, like Christian books. But anyway, the thing is, what they're doing is it's increasing exponentially, and it's happening. Jesus said, when you see that happen, realize the times are drawing near. We talked again a little bit this morning about the Middle East. The Middle East, if you look at Ezekiel, if you look at Revelation, if you look at other prophecies given in the Old Testament dealing with the last days, things are aligning themselves in the world right now with countries for last days. The invasion that's going to occur, that's been foretold by Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36 and 37, where Russia, Turkey, and Iran are going to invade Israel. Every day you pick up the news, and if you can get the news, we get the Jerusalem Post, so you hear a lot more what's happening in the Middle East from that. And you find out what's going on in the Middle East, and you discover that things are getting, the pressure is cranking up over there, and the tensions between those three countries and Israel. And we don't even hear about things like that Israel went in and bombed some Hezbollah and Hamas locations. We don't even hear about that anymore. They went into southern Lebanon and bombed some Hezbollah locations. They went into Syria and bombed some Hezbollah locations because they were shooting rockets into Israel. I never heard any of that on the U.S. news. We're too concerned about things that really don't matter and trying to generate people into a frenzy than presenting what's really happening in the world. But those things are happening. Jesus said, when you see these things happen, realize that the fig tree is getting green. Summer's coming. The time is coming. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. We need to understand that we are living in amazing times. I was talking to one of the ladies this morning at the church, and she said, you know, when I became a Christian, and she's younger than me, probably about 20 or 25 years, but she would say, when I became a Christian, I never thought that in my lifetime I'd see events that really could be pointing to the second coming of Christ and Christ could come at any time. I never thought that would happen. I thought that I'd be a grandmother, I'd die, my children would be old, my grandchildren would be here, and then maybe Jesus would come. But it looks like everything's in alignment with the Lord to come at any time. What does that tell us about how we should live? And one of the things that Jesus said is, beware of the false teachers. Why? So that you don't let your... By having a false teacher come, what they do is Satan wants you to take your eyes off of what's important. What's really important and should be important to a Christian? The return of the Lord. I remember when we got married. We got married on a Friday night. And we had rehearsal on Thursday, and it was pretty exciting times for us to get married. You know, earlier that week we were planning, still doing the final plannings and stuff, and it was like, when is this coming? When is this coming? And then Friday night came, and I don't know if Roberta was as excited as I was, but I was pretty excited about that. That day that we were finally going to be married and we were going to be husband and wife. But do we have that same excitement about the Lord? You realize we're His bride, and His bride should be excited about the bridegroom coming to get her. We're going to be studying that, not next week, but the following week, I think, or maybe next Sunday afternoon. But the thing is, the bridegroom should be really excited about our bride. The bride should be really excited about the bridegroom coming and the wedding coming off. And now they're going to be husband and wife. Jesus says, you're my bride. Are we excited about the Lord coming for us? Are we excited about the things that He's promised are going to be there for us? And that He's done for us, are we excited about that? I was chasing my granddaughter around the yard yesterday. We were playing tag, And it's pretty bad when a 7-year-old can outrun you, and you're running and you're going, oh man, I guess I need to get out and exercise a little more, because my legs sure aren't moving like they used to. And you realize you're getting old. And with age, this body begins to break down. But the thing is, we're promised a body that will never break down. We're promised things that we can't even comprehend or understand. And that God has got, that will never be tainted by sin. Can you imagine a world that's not tainted by sin, especially when you look around at our world today and how wicked it is and how sinful it is and how evil is permeates so much of our culture, and that there's coming a day where it's going to be holiness, righteousness, and purity, love, joy, and peace will be commonplace because we'll be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So in just closing, if you look at what Jesus is saying here, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth his leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So he's telling his disciples, you ask the questions. When will you be coming? And what are the signs of your coming? He told them the signs, and he says, now when will it be? When you begin to see these signs come about. That's when you need to be prepared. Because he says, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Do you know what that means? Even at the doors. That means right outside the door. That means he's right there. At any moment, you can break through. We're going to show you sometime this video that we got that deals with a Jewish wedding in light of Scripture and showing how it relates to the end times. And you're going to see what it means to be at the door. At the door. The bride's on the inside. The bridegroom's at the door, ready to come in. Ready for the wedding to start. And then, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Before this generation, what did that mean? Well, there's been various, some people said, well, this generation can mean, that the word generation can mean a type of people. So it can mean, he's speaking to the Jewish people, so it means that the Jews wouldn't pass away until this happens. So there'd still be Jews here on earth. It also can mean this generation, that the generation that began to see these things, that they were not going to be dead until they actually came about. Until the last 3 years, you're probably going, well, is that really, could that really be it? But I'm going, you know, maybe that is it. This generation begin to see these things, they're going to be alive on earth when I return. That could very well mean what he meant by generation here, because that's what it can mean. The same word can mean that as well. It can mean one of the two. I believe that there's going to be Jews here. The Bible tells us there's going to be Jews here. But it also can mean those that saw Israel come, that were alive when Israel became a nation in 1948. There's people that are born, would be 52, 48, 4 years before me, that would have been born the same year Israel became a nation again, just like Scripture said, which would be the first sign that the end, last days were coming. And then it's just increase in velocity as it's drawing closer. And so he says, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In other words, his word is true. We saw it. Temple was torn down, not a stone left upon another. Just as he said in 70 AD. Just as he said, all these things will happen. And very well could be in our generation. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the signs of the times. The trees turning green. Summer's coming. Your return's at hand. You're literally at the door. Lord, may we be prepared. The rapture could occur at any moment. sending the world into the final 7 years. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to be prepared and to share with others that they may hear and that they may turn and repent and give their hearts to you, that they may come to know you and be part of those that hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in." This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.